Well, welcome to the bridge, everybody, and to a wrap up of our series that we've been in the last couple of weeks called House Party. And at the bridge, we really are convinced that knowing God and having a relationship with God is something that should feel much more like a party than a prison. And being a part of a church ought to be something that we enjoy and not simply endure. And as we read the Bible, as we understand the scripture, it seems to us that God is more for us than he is against us, and that he never intended for church to be some formal, stuffy organization that's out of touch with real life, but he intended for the church to be much more like an awesome house party where everybody is important, everybody is invited, and everybody's included. And our mission statement here at the bridge, here's what we describe as our mission. Our mission is to lead people to fall more in love with Jesus Christ. And what we truly believe is that falling in love with Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus Christ is really the key to a lot of things. It's the key to the best life you can live on this earth. It's the key to the best relationships you can have. It's the key to the most satisfaction, the greatest level of satisfaction you'll have in life. It's the key to having a sense of significance and purpose in your life. But we also believe it's the key to having security and just the certainty about where you'll spend eternity when you die, that you'll spend eternity in heaven because of this relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, as we think about this whole concept of church and here at the bridge, it's just been a privilege of ours over the years to watch so many people fall in love with Jesus Christ for the very first time. And not only fall in love with him, but then you go out and you tell all of your friends, all your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors, everybody else, you tell about him and that you've fallen in love with him for the very first time. And for me as the pastor, one of the things that's so cool is that you're willing to invite your friends to come to the bridge and be your guest here. And you say, well, why is that such a big deal? Well, here's why. Now, over the years, as I've had conversations with different people, and sometimes it's people that don't regularly attend church, and I ask them, why is it that you don't attend church on a regular basis or at all? I rarely, if ever, have I gotten a reason that has to do with some kind of theology or some kind of belief. I rarely ever get an answer like, well, I just don't believe in God, or I just don't believe in Jesus, or, you know, the whole Bible thing, I'm just not sure about it, or, you know, this whole concept of, you know, some divine entity called God creating the earth and the planets and human life, I just struggle with that. I rarely get any kind of answer like that. More times than not, it's not a theology or a belief answer. It's more of a church-related answer. Kind of like, I don't have a problem with God. It's church that I don't really like. You know, maybe it's that you've been hurt in the church, or maybe it's that you didn't like what was going on in the church, or maybe you feel like a church is just filled with hypocrites, or, you know, maybe it's just boring and irrelevant. It's such a waste of time. But for whatever reason, a lot of people would sit back and say, I don't have a problem with God or Jesus per se. It's the church that I struggle with. And here's proof of that. You think about Christmas and Easter, churches are filled with people. And the very next Sunday, not so much. And what that's saying is, there's something inside of all of us that says, I want to connect with God. I want to know, man, the God that created me, I want to have this connection with him, and I want that. Man, I want to see how it impacts my life and my relationships and my work habits and all those kind of things. But man, church, I just don't get it. It's just confusing. It's just like, I don't understand it. And sometimes, whether intentionally or unintentionally, I think we give off an impression, and here's the impression we tend to give, that church is for church people. Church is for church people. It's like this, you know, this social club that's real tight-knit, and anyone on the outside, it's just really difficult to break into. It's really difficult to kind of get connected because, man, church people, they, you know, they've got all kinds of things that are just different. I mean, they have a look. You know, they're always just well-groomed and just dressed to the nines and like everything's perfect in their life. You know, my look is, matches my life. It's just disheveled and I'm in problems and all that. And so I don't fit there. They have a look. I don't have that look. Church people, they have a routine. They know where to park. They know where to enter. They know where to sit. They know when to stand. They know when to sing. They know when to say amen. They know all those things. I don't know that. Church people have a lingo. They say all these things that we don't say in real life. You know, they talk about peace like a river and joy like a fountain. I don't have any idea what that means. They talk about, you know, they're telling me all these things I got to do. They're telling me I've got to walk the aisle, pass the plate, guard my heart, extend the right hand of fellowship to a brother or sister. I don't even know what that even means. And then the guys up there talking about justification, sanctification, glorification. All I can think about is my constipation and flatulation from the intoxication I had on my vacation. And so I don't get it. I don't understand any of it. And it's like church, sometimes, and I don't know that we do this intentionally, but sometimes we just give this impression that church is for church people. And it's just really, really difficult. You know, someone outside of church looks and says, I want to connect. I'm open to a relationship with God. But it's like church people are just not my people. I feel comfortable at home. I feel comfortable at work. I feel comfortable with golf course. I feel comfortable hunting. I feel comfortable skiing. I feel comfortable in all these other venues. But at church, it's just like they're not my people. I don't feel comfortable. And sometimes I think it's because we give the impression that church is for church people. But here's where the problem lies. If church is for church people, then Christianity is for church people. Like if church just exists for church people, then that by default means that Christianity is only there for church people. And if that's true, if Christianity is for church people, then Christ is for church people. Christ only came for church people. And as we read the Bible, nothing could be further from the truth. That Christ came for everybody. Nothing could be further from the truth that Christianity and Christ were only for church people. And it's really that thought, that idea, that has driven us over the years to rethink how we look at church, how we do church. It's that idea or that thought that really drove us about 15 years ago to change a lot of the ways that we do church and create what you know today as the Bridge. It's what led us about 5 years ago to start a second campus at the Regal Theater. It's our Regal campus. It's what drives so many of those decisions is that, man, we don't want this idea that church is for church people. We don't want that to permeate. We want people to understand that church is not just for church people, but church is for all people. That we're here, that everybody's included, that we want people to come. It doesn't matter where you've been in life. It doesn't matter what you've done. We want you to come and to just be a part. And we don't want you to stand off. Our goal is real simple. If you've never been here, if you've never been to church, we just want you to come and enjoy. It's not even important to me that you agree with what I say. We just want you to walk away and go, man, I don't agree with what they talked about, but I had a good time. I'll go back. That's perfect. Because we want you to know we're here for you. We want you to be here. And it's just interesting. As you look at the Bible, as you read things about the character and nature of God and Jesus, just things that you discover that you know, church should, because of what we've got to celebrate, because of all the things that God has done for us, it should seem like every time we get together ought to be just one huge celebration. Like one huge house party because of all the incredible things that he's done for us. And when you read the Bible, here's some of the things that you discover about God and about Jesus when you look at the Bible. Number one, God loves parties. God loves parties. Now see, that runs contrary to what a lot of people will think about God out in our society. You know, a lot of people think God is just about saying no to the party. He's about no fun, no everything, right? But that's not true. When you read the Old Testament, God set aside all these different times and all these different days for people to celebrate. In fact, when you add up all the times, all the days that he said to set aside for celebration and partying, it adds up to about 3 months out of every year that God said, I want you to party, I want you to celebrate. In fact, God went as far as to say this, if you don't party, if you don't celebrate, then I'm going to kill you. Now, how great is that, God? You either party or you die. That's what he's saying. I want you to be about celebrating. Because here's the thing. He wanted his people to be a reflection of who he is. That he is the author of life and joy and complete satisfaction. And so he wants us to be a reflection of that. And God loves parties. And then you get to the New Testament. You start seeing Jesus and, man, things that you see in Jesus, it's incredible. We find out in the New Testament that Jesus was a party starter. I mean, everywhere he went, incredible, supernatural things were taking place. And you read the Gospels. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And, man, you see that Jesus was all about the parties. He was all about attending parties. He was all about starting parties everywhere he went. He was getting in trouble for going to so many parties. He was being called names for going to so many parties. I mean, his very first miracle that he ever did was at a party. And he turned water into wine. It was his very first miracle. If you're Baptist, turn it into grape juice maybe. But that was the very first miracle. It was at a party. You find him one day partying with a guy named Zacchaeus, and the next day he's partying with a guy named Matthew. Both of these guys are tax collectors. And a tax collector in that day had a reputation that was lower than a prostitute. And he's out partying with these guys, inviting them to party with him. In fact, he did this so much that the religious leaders of the day began to call him a drunkard. Because he was always at parties. He was always the life of the party. Now, some things that we realize when you look at the life of Jesus, he teaches us some things. Number one, he teaches us that people matter more than opinions. I mean, you watch his life, and his mindset was, I want to connect with these people. These people that I've created, these people that I love, these people that I will eventually die for, I want to connect with them. And you know what? What you have to say about me, how you second guess me, how you bring in my motivation for what I'm doing, all those things are secondary to me. They're not nearly as important to me as connecting with these people that I created, that I love, that I'm going to die for. So people mattered more than opinions. The second thing we learn from Jesus is that sometimes it takes a party to demonstrate that God cares about people who party. That Jesus was willing to go and meet people on their turf. He wasn't always demanding, no, you come and meet me at the church house. You come and meet me here in the religious setting. No, he would go to the parties to be with people, to connect with them on their turf. And the whole mindset is sometimes it takes a party to help you who are going to a party to understand, man, God loves you. God wants the best life for you. And he was willing to go over and over and over again to celebrate with people so that they understood those very things. That Jesus was the ultimate party starter. There's one occasion in the book, in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus had been, and it sets up such a distinction between Jesus, the party starter, and the religious leaders, the party poopers, okay? And it's just that the real distinction that you see in this particular occasion. And Jesus was invited, and the setting here was he was invited on a Sabbath day to a party at a Pharisee's house. Now, the Sabbath was considered the Lord's Day. The Sabbath was a day that the Jewish people, were supposed to rest and not work. And there were all kinds of laws and rules about what constituted work and what didn't constitute work. And so Jesus was there. He was invited by the Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were the religious group that you see mostly in the New Testament, a.k.a. the party poopers. They were always trying to find ways to trap Jesus, to trick Jesus, to get him to do something that they could use against him. And so he's been invited on this Sabbath day to this Pharisee's house to a get-together, to a party. And at the party, the Pharisees bring a man to him that has had this physical condition and has never been cured. He'd never been healed. And they bring this, they didn't care about the man, they just wanted to try to trap Jesus. So they bring this man to Jesus, and they ask this question. Is it lawful for you to heal this man on the Sabbath? Is it okay for you to do that? And here's what they're thinking. If you say yes and you heal him, then you break the laws of God. You break the laws that God gave to Moses. And so you go against who we are as a people. But if you say no and you don't heal him, then you show all the people that you don't have compassion for them. You don't really care about them. And so they're thinking, we got him. This is the perfect scenario. Man, catch 22, we got him right here. And Jesus looks at him, and rarely does he ever answer a question with an answer. He typically answers with a question. And anytime you think you're going to trap Jesus, it doesn't really work that well. And so they're thinking they've got him cornered, and Jesus answers with a question. He says, suppose one of you had a son that had fallen down into this cavern on a Sabbath day. Are you going to rescue him? Or are you going to say, hang in there, we'll get you tomorrow when the Sabbath's over? And they were like, could you ask the question again? Excuse me, I didn't get that. You know, they were like, I don't know what to say, because they knew if they answered, they were going to be caught either way. And so, because of their silence, Jesus then looked at the man and he healed the man that had been crippled, that had been hadn't been cured all these years. And then he talks about what ways people should act when they go to parties. And on the heels of that is where we pick up in Luke chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 15. Here's what he says. Hearing this, he's been talking about, here's what you do at parties or whatever. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Now, this verbiage, banquet in the kingdom of God, it was a reference to eternal life. And it was a widely held belief that the Jewish people, and only the Jewish people, would eventually be the ones in heaven with God, sitting around the banquet feast, enjoying this, you know, great banquet in the heavenly realms with God. They would be the only ones there. And so this man's sitting back and he's saying, what a great day that's going to be when we are at the great banquet feast with God in eternal life. And he's sitting there talking about what's going to happen when he dies, failing to understand that he's sitting with the author of the party right there. That the whole thing, the whole party was all about him. And he's sitting right there in the presence of the one that the party is all about. But he can't see it. He can't get it. And he's talking about, man, what's going to happen someday? It's going to be great down the road. And yet the party starter was right there in front of him. And so Jesus looks at him. He listens to this thing, the remark that he made, and he tells a story related to that. And if you're a religious leader and Jesus starts telling a story, you're probably not going to end up on the good side of this thing, okay? And so he begins telling the story, and here's what he says, verse 16. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. Now, back in this particular day, if you had a big social gathering or some big banquet, you would send out invitations well in advance and you would kind of pre-invite people. You would tell them a general idea of when it's going to be, and they would RSVP to that. And then once you had all the preparations made, then you send word out, okay, the banquet's ready. Everybody come in, and everybody enjoy the banquet. Now, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying a man, now the man he's talking about that's prepared the great feast is really God in the story. God has prepared this great feast, and he has pre-invited all of these guests. Now, the reference here is to the Israelites, to the Jewish people. And he's basically saying through the Old Testament, through the words of all the prophets, you've known that this great banquet, a Messiah is coming, and the party is all about that Messiah. You've known about it, but what you fail to see is that he's sitting in your presence. You've known about him coming, and you don't know that he's here. And this great banquet, this pre-invited guest, all you guys have been invited, and you had this mindset that someday we're going to be the only ones at the banquet. And you're failing to see that I'm sitting right here. And he says they began to make up excuses for why they couldn't come. Now, what you're going to see are three different excuses. They're very trivial and lame excuses, especially in the magnitude of this banquet and who it is that's actually inviting people. And here are the excuses, and sometimes It seems like I find that we use a lot of these excuses as well. And here's what he says, verse 18. One said, his first excuse, one said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. So these are people that have already RSVP'd, we're going to be there. And to back out, you'd have to have a pretty serious reason to back out. And this guy said, you know what, I bought a field, I need to go inspect it. And what Jesus is talking to, he's talking to people who, put possessions, put our things above and make them a priority above the party itself. We put our possessions above, to make it a priority above connecting with Jesus in a relationship, connecting with his church and the mission of trying to invite everybody to come and be a part of it. It's the people that sit back and go, I got a new house, got a new boat, got a new beach house, got carpet and they get put in, renovating the bathroom, whatever it is we come up with, and those are keeping me from connecting to the mission, connecting to what God is doing. Jesus in no way is saying these things are wrong. He's in no way saying having these things is wrong for anyone to do. But he's saying when we allow those things to take precedence, when they take priority in our life above connecting to the party, to the mission of what God has called the church to be about, he said, man, you're going down the wrong road. It's a lame excuse in the magnitude of this party and the invitation that you're receiving. And so he says, don't do that. And he goes to the next one. He said in verse 19, another said, I just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. So please excuse me. And Jesus here is talking to the person who's just busy. Just busy people, man. Just so busy that I have to put important things. I have to put connecting to God. I have to put connecting to the mission that God has called me to. I have to put all those things on the back burner because I'm just busy. And we get there, right? We understand busyness. Everybody talk to, man, busy, 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 busy. And here's what we tell ourselves. Someday when things slow down, as if there's like a date out there, and we know it's a slowdown date right there. I can see it. We're going to slow down. It never happens. When have you ever reached a slowdown date? Someday when things slow down and everything, kind of goes back to normal, and we just stay busy, busy, busy. There's an opinion piece written in the New York Times about this busy, crazy life cycle that we live. And they said this, if you live in America in the 21st century, you've probably had to listen to a lot of people tell you how busy they are. It's become the default response when you ask anyone how they're doing. Busy, so busy, crazy busy. He said, that's what happens. You talk to people, how you doing? Busy, 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 busy. And then he goes on and says this, it is pretty obviously a boast disguised as a complaint. In other words, we're wearing our busyness as a badge of honor. It's like, I'm pretty important. I'm pretty busy all the time. I'm just so busy. I can't connect. I can't do this. I can't be involved in that kind of relationship. Can't be involved in a relationship with God. Can't connect to the church. I can't connect to God's mission for my life, his purpose for my life. I'm just busy, 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 busy. Jesus says, man, listen, if you're so busy that you're missing out on what my purpose and my plan is for your life, you're too busy. But we are. We're busy people. He goes on, the third excuse, he says, another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I just got married. This is the person that makes an important thing the ultimate thing. It's the person that says, man, I got this thing, it's really important. And Jesus is like, there's no way Jesus is saying that marriage is bad, all right, or that marriage is not important. And I'm not sitting up here saying that marriage is important and it's not important because my wife wouldn't let me tell you that. But I'm telling you, marriage is important. Relationships like that are important. But Jesus is saying, if we're not careful, we can take important things and we can make them the ultimate things. When the ultimate thing needs to be your relationship with me. Every other relationship in your life is secondary to your relationship with me. But if you place the relationship with me as a priority, then everything else in your life falls into place. But you got to see that if you place important things as the ultimate things in your life, you're going to have them all messed up and you're never going to have life ordered the way you're hoping to. He said, these are excuses that people come up with to not connect, to not be involved, to not be a part of the great house party. And so here's what happens. He keeps going. It says in verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now, see, this was this was directed right at the religious leaders, because it was their belief that they were the only ones that were invited to the party. It was their belief that they would be there alone, just in their own group, their own club, and it was a tight club. And nobody else would be invited, especially those people. Especially those people that are different than me, that I wouldn't normally hang out with. They're not going to be invited, not to the party that we're going to. And Jesus is saying, see, that's where you've gotten messed up. I want you to go out and invite everybody. I want you to invite those people. I want you to invite people, even though you don't like them, even though they don't act like you or talk like you or look like you, or you wouldn't normally hang out with them. They're a different race or a different, different background, different mindset. All those things that are different about them that you wouldn't normally hang out, I'm telling you, they are invited. They are part of the invitation list. And I'm going to open it up and invite as many people as will come, as will respond to the invitation. He keeps going. He says this finally, verses 22 to 23. After the servant had done this, he reported, "There's still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full." Go out, and I'm telling you, urge, compel people to come so that the house will be full. And here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying great parties are always better when they're shared. That if you're getting together with a few friends and you're having dinner, that's just a little get-together, a little dinner party. I'm talking about this great house party, this great banquet, this incredible party that's going on that everyone is included and everyone is invited. And you need all that's missing is the fact that we need to get the word out that every Sunday at the Bridge, there's a house party going on. We have so much to celebrate, and it's a matter of getting out the word, getting the invitation, and inviting anybody and everybody. Because the other thing that we learn from the scripture is not only that God loves parties and Jesus was the party starter, but that everybody is included on the party invitation. Everybody. Everybody's included. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. You're included. Doesn't matter how you were raised. Doesn't matter the choices you've made. You're included. Doesn't matter your race, your ethnicity, your country of origin. You're included. Doesn't matter how high you climb or how low you've sunk. You're included. Doesn't matter if you've tried every religion in the world or today is the first time you've ever walked into a church door. You're included. What I'm trying to tell you is that everybody is included. Everybody. There's not one person you can think of that's not included on the invitation list to the greatest party this world has ever known. That God is sitting back saying, I not only love you, but I have provided a way so that your life would be redeemed, that you could have a relationship with me, a right standing with me, that you can have an eternal home in heaven, you can have the best life you can ever imagine living here on this earth. I've made that possible. And you're invited to come be a part of that. And everybody is included. Because the church is not just for church people. The church is for all people. And it's what drives everything we do. The fact that church is for all people and everybody's included is why we spend thousands of dollars on children's ministries and children's environments. Because we want every child to know, man, God loves you. And God has something special for your life. It's why we spend thousands of dollars on our middle school and high school students. Because we want them to understand, man, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And you are significant to Him. It's why we spend thousands of dollars every year on our Sunday morning environment. Because we want every guest to walk through the door and know, man, you belong here. See, a lot of places you go to, a lot of churches you go to, you have to believe a certain thing before you can belong. But not here at the Bridge. You can belong before you ever believe anything. You are invited, you are important, and you're included, and we want you here. It's what drives us. It's why we would start a second campus in a movie theater. It's why we're actively looking and planning to start other campuses in the not-too-distant future. It's why many of you spend hours every single week volunteering your time at the Bridge. And it's why we're constantly encouraging you and pleading with you. Invite your friends. Because everybody is included on the invitation list. And man, we want your friends, we want your family members, we want everybody to come and be a part of this house party. Now, what's cool is that so many of you have taken that to heart. And just the stories that you share are just amazing. A couple weeks ago or so, we had here at the church, we had a Pinterest and poker night. And again, we just wanted to try to create a fun environment for people to come. Maybe people that wouldn't normally go to church and just come and see, man, you can have fun at church. And maybe church people aren't as weird as you might have thought, you know. And so maybe if you come to a Pinterest or a poker night, you had actually come for a Sunday morning. And so we had this night, and it was a great night, a lot of fun. But there was a guy that actually was coming to the poker night, and he took an Uber to get here. How many of you used Uber? We got many Uber people? Yeah. I've got a lot of conversations that I've had with Uber drivers that's for another message sometime. But anyway, so the person that picked him up, the Uber driver picked him up, and on the way here, they, you know, just carrying on casual conversation. The Uber driver said, Where are you going? What are you doing? He's like, I'm going to my church to play poker. You know, that brought up some curiosity and some questions. And so they just continued to talk about this, and they talked about it so much. So by the time they got here, the guy that, you know, was taking the Uber, he told the Uber driver, he said, well, why don't you just come in and play poker? And the guy did. The guy parked his car, came in. And not only that, he wound up winning the jackpot of the night, and he gave his life to Christ. I'm kidding about that last part. I knew you'd clap, though. Now, he really did come in. That would have been cool, though. And now he's getting baptized. No, but that would have been cool. But no, it was awesome. Here's a person that says, I'm going to take seriously this whole thing about invite. I mean, you're included. And I want you to come and just check it out. And that's the whole mindset. Man, just come check it out. If you don't like it, hey, you don't ever have to come again, but just come check it out. There was a couple that visited our Regal campus not too long ago. And they had been invited by their neighbor, who's also a longtime Bridger, been invited for months and months and months to come. Just come check it out. Just come one Sunday, check it out. Well, they finally came. And after the service, the guy shared that he literally was scared because of choices he had made in his life. He was literally scared that God would burn down the place if he showed up. Now, you know, you've heard people make comments, you know, lightning's going to strike or whatever. But I'm telling you, this guy was literally scared, believed it, that God would burn down the place because of choices that he had made. And I can happily report to you that God did not burn down the place. But I'll also tell you that they enjoyed themselves so much that they came back the next Sunday and they brought 10 of their friends with them. And that's what it's all about, because they understand that a great party is something that's got to be shared. And the best parties are when we include other people. And the wife, actually, she wrote on her Facebook, she said, my husband, the kids, and I went to church today at the Bridge in a movie theater. It was pretty awesome, not going to lie. It was nice to just sit there and listen. I didn't feel uncomfortable or that feeling of not knowing what to do when ... The boys went to the kids group and had fun. Overall, it was a great experience, and dare I say, we will be back next Sunday. Thank you, and has the couple's name that invited them. Thank you for the invitation to the party. See, that's what it's all about. And we really try to do the best job we can of making it easy for you to try to invite your friends, your family members, your coworkers, neighbors, whatever. We try to make sure that every Sunday is an environment that man, your friends will come and they'll have a good time. Again, whether they believe anything or not, they're going to have a good time. And we start a series next Sunday called Chasing Happy. I promise you, because it's what we're all doing, right? I mean, it seems like in life, most people are chasing after happiness. We're chasing after this thing that is so elusive. Every time we think we've gotten it, it's gone again. But most people are chasing after it. And what we're going to talk about are some of the things that we see in people's lives that are happy and some secrets to living a happy life. And I promise you, this is going to be applicable to every single person in the room, every person outside the room right now. It is going to be applicable, and I believe it's going to be life-changing. And so we want you to be able to invite as many people as you can. And so one of the things that we're doing this time with this is that you should have a card there in your seat. Here's what this card does. If you take out your phone and you turn your camera on and you scan it across that little QR code there, instantly it's going to take you to Facebook. And there's going to be this little block here that you can share on your Facebook page. And then so it's one click of the button, and you're sharing this on your Facebook page with all the thousands and multiple thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers that you have. And when they, if any of them then click on this, it's going to take them to a page on our website that tells all about the series, tells about all the things we've got going on for kids and for students. And so we're trying to make this an easy thing for you to just one click, and you've posted it for all kinds of people to see. And if you're sitting here and you're like, well, my phone doesn't have a camera. Okay, great. You can, we need to help you get to the 21st century, but you can go to the website, thebridge.me/chasinghappy, and right there is the same thing that you can click on one click, and it's posted to your Facebook, and so many people can see it, and hopefully it'll be an invitation that's easy for you to use for people to come. You know, what if every person that you see today, tomorrow, this week, what if the thought went through your mind, that person is included on the invitation list? They may not know it, or maybe they do, but they're included on this invitation list to the greatest party the world has ever known. And every Sunday, my church, The Bridge, puts on a great house party that I'm convinced they would love it if they just came one time. Would that change anything about you and the invitation? Would that affect you in any way with inviting your friends? And what if you did invite them and they said yes? And then when they came, they loved it so much that they continued to thank you over and over and over again for just inviting them. Would that change anything about the way you see that invitation? Because I'm telling you, that happens hundreds of times over the years. It's happened. And people respond and say yes to an invitation. They come. Not only do they love it, not only do they thank their friend for inviting them over and over and over again, but they eventually make a decision that changes the trajectory of their life and it changes their eternal destination. And I'm telling you, it is the best feeling in the world. It is the best sense of gratification you can ever experience. And if you experience it one time, you will be a party inviting fool for the rest of your life. I promise you. But it just takes you making that invitation. And so I'm asking you, come on. Let's continue to make The Bridge a place that feels like a house party. That's a place where everybody is invited, everybody's important, and everybody's included. And I promise you, if we do that, our minds can't contain what God would do with that. And so I'm asking you to help me. Because church isn't just for church people. Church is for all people. Let me pray for us, okay? God, I just I pray that you would help us just see the urgency for inviting people to be a part of a house party, to be a part of the greatest message the world's ever received. God, that we would just somehow catch hold of the fact that you love everybody so much. You not only created them and breathed life into them, but you've made it possible for them to have a right relationship with you. And your grace and your mercy and your love and your forgiveness is so unbelievable that anybody that understands a small portion of that, their life is changed by it. And God, I pray that we would never get tired of seeing people respond to you, that we would never grow weary of seeing people's lives change, that we would never get tired of inviting people to be a part of this house party. God, I pray that you would continue to use the bridge to reach people, that you would continue to help us have a place that feels like, man, you don't have to be a church person to come here and belong. And God, that we would make a difference in this world. Thank you so much for all that you're doing in us, and thank you for what you're doing through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before